right. Yeah. So we're here doing another Dad Bod D&D podcast on a Friday. It's a weird thing, but 2 weeks in a row makes it a habit. Yeah. So we're here. We're going to talk about cantrips, our favorite cantrips. But before we do that, let's get some housekeeping business stuff out of the way. Follow us on YouTube, Dad Bod D&D. Follow us on Twitter at @DN_dad. Right here on Twitch. Check out our podcasts on all the platforms. I think we're streaming on, I don't know, like 10 or so different streaming podcasts.
I think that's all of them.
Yeah, that's all of them. All the big ones anyways. So yeah, check us out there. We will do our podcast here, and then after that, we will be streaming Tomb of Annihilation, so stick around for that. But without further ado, let's talk cantrips, our favorite ones. Anybody?
We need a cool intro right there.
Terminator. Terminator 2. Who wants to start? Anyone?
Well, I think Travis would be the best place.
compiling notes. No, I'm not, fortunately. So I had to rush and kind of go through it, so I just went with... I'm going to go with Thaumaturgy. I haven't really used cantrips. I don't have any assigned to anybody except for one that I haven't used a character yet, so that seems like the best choice. I like the idea of just the subtle effects of, like, the making the lights change or changing your eyes to instill fear or prove yourself to somebody. That's about the simplest give for liking that one the most.
Yeah, and that's more of like cantrips to me are always aiding in role playing. Like, they can kind of make your character do some more things, or and they can aid in that the acting out of scenes, mm-hmm. rather than, like, you know, 5th, 6th level spells. You're dealing damage, or you're really manipulating the scene. So Thaumaturgy is one of those cool ones that make some subtle manipulations and kind of help out the role playing aspect.
Yeah, I like the role playing part. That's a very good point. I couldn't quite put that together in my head. So thank you. But yeah, I mean, a lot of the other ones are similar, just spells. Roll a d4 for a saving throw, or you create a flame or something. I mean, right. They're cool, but I like the variety of options Thaumaturgy gives you.
Yeah.
Nice. Also the first one that I have any experience with, thanks to Critical Role.
Yeah.
Because Laura just kind of started off with that real quick. Yep, Jester.
Yeah, Jester's been doing it a lot.
Yeah. I could not remember her character. I need to start watching that again. Anyway. What about you, Chris, with a K?
That's not me. I'm
Chris. No, it's not.
What's up?
What's your favorite cantrip?
Oh, my favorite. I chose one of the damage dealing spells.
Oh, really?
Well, just because I'm so... to get my cursing out now that school has started. I'm so fucking happy I've never had to deal with anybody using it in a campaign. And that's Vicious Mockery. Just because, you know, like, all the other cantrips make sense. I'm going to burn someone. I'm going to freeze them. I'm going to blast them with Eldritch Magic. I'm going to make them laugh till they die. And so that's why I'm, like, I think even in Critical Role, you know, I think Scanlan killed maybe one or two people with it, and that's the most. And usually it seems like Mercer will just, like, oh, yeah, that does damage, and skip it. Like, he doesn't illustrate it unless they die.
Yeah. Well, and I think Scanlan always had a good accompaniment to the Vicious Mockery. He always had a line to go with it. You know, it's one thing to just cast a spell, but then to actually role play. What insult are you throwing at this character, at this enemy? And Sam Riegel, he's always got something up his sleeve.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's I try not to make those too big because, you know, kudos to professional voice actor, voice director that can come up with stuff on the fly, but
right,
man, sometimes I can barely come up with comebacks for freshmen in high school. Yeah. And when I do, like, it lasts for a month. The kids keep bringing it up. So
yeah,
like actually doing it, you know, every round potentially and making it worthwhile is very different from, like, I hit them with my sword.
Right.
That you can illustrate different ways, but
yeah, and I
mockery
think
can be a bitch.
Even if the player casting it doesn't have, like, that quippy insult, the DM can always kind of fill in where or how the words that may have been said or not are affecting that enemy and kind of what it's doing to their body physically. But I think it is one of the most epic deaths if somebody dies by vicious mockery.
Yeah, it's a fun one, that's for sure. Just the whole humor in it, and it's just so different from everything. I really like that one.
And that's an interesting one too, because I'm looking at it and it's only a D4 of psychic damage, but then it has disadvantage, so there's kind of the next step of it, right?
Well, and that psychic damage, that hits, that overcomes so many resistances that, like, even high level monsters,
yeah,
what, you know, Tiamat is immune to such and such and such and such, resistant to this, but not to psychic. And so, like, I'm gonna murder Tiamat with, you know, vicious mockery.
Well, and really having that disadvantage on their next attack roll would be huge. I mean, you're setting up the rest of your party to be a little more successful, which is nice in a cantrip.
I'd agree.
Yeah, I can't remember if we... I guess we didn't use Vicious Mockery, but I know I, like, heard it in Critical Role recently. I had no idea that it was a cantrip. I did not understand what they were doing with it. It was really weird, yeah, not knowing what the hell that was.
Molly Mock uses it quite a bit. and he does a good job, so he does it in Infernal. Well, spoilers.
And his isn't... So, like, Scanlan used it. He was burning them to death or whatever. Molly Mock, his vicious mockery is more of, like, scaring the shit out of him because Taliesin Jaffe really dives into, like, you know, Infernal sounds scary.
Right.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and playing the tiefling, it all made sense and worked thematically. Yeah.
I think it was great. Yeah, I think it was a great use of a good cantrip when, you know, you're a melee fighter and you can't do anything else. So he was always with his two swords, but it was okay.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, old Christopher?
Oh yeah, what did I pick? I picked Mage Hand, the conjuration cantrip. I picked this because one of my first characters that I played was an arcane trickster rogue, and they get access to Mage Hand, but otherwise, the only classes that can cast it are Bard, Sorcerer, Warlock, and Wizard. And this, again, was one of those role-playing spells, kind of that can enhance your role-playing or can kind of give you an advantage in any kind of situation, you know? But anyways, just to describe it a little bit, if you don't know, it's just a spectral hand that comes floating out. It can only lift 10 pounds. And as a normal cantrip for the Bard, Sorcerer, Warlock, or Wizard is, it can't do a whole lot. It can open a container or open an unlocked door, but it's very limited. But when you become the Arcane Trickster, it opens up the possibilities for this Mage Hand. One is, now you can use it as a bonus action, so you retain your action. And you can get it... You can do more things with it. You can actually manipulate some tools. You can use your thieves' tools to unlock something. You can actually pour out a vial. You can stow things. So you can do a little bit more with it as the Ledger Domain Arcane Trickster. portion of it.
Well, if I remember right, you can also like disarm traps from a distance, which I mean is huge for rooms.
Yeah.
And just being able to not be by the trap and fail and it go off. I mean that's,
yeah. And you can do it under stealth. So you can roll a sleight of hand against a perception check of an NPC. If you succeed, they don't see your mage hand acting. And I don't think you can do that, well, DM's discretion, but I don't think you can inherently do it with just the regular mage hand. So you taking it as the arcane tricksters, you get it can really kind of get you out of some sticky situations, I think, especially, you know, going through a trap-laden dungeon, send the mage hand in front, you know, and have it start triggering some stuff.
Yeah, I would agree. I think that, you know, all of those are fun. So what I picked is kind of along the same lines as what you guys were doing. Prestidigitation, which is impossible for many people to say. But what I like about it is the fact that it really makes it so that the caster has to think about it, has to roleplay it, and it becomes a tool to roleplay rather than like just pew-pew spells, right? Mm-hmm. And the ability to pretty much do anything with it, I mean, is awesome. So, you know, you want to leave secret messages, you can make marks on walls, you can dirty something up, you can make something clean like it never happened. You know, and again, Critical Role, they do this very well, where whenever they go to Pumat Sol, he's pressed the digitation on Caleb, so he's not the stinky old creeper. It's cool. What I enjoy about it.
Yeah, again, it's one of those spells that you can use to kind of just mess with somebody. You know, you can send a puff of wind in their ear. You know, you can just play around and manipulate the scene. And like I said, I think it adds to the role playing. Like it's now a shtick every time they go into Pumat Sol and he does that, right?
Right.
And that's fun. And then, and being a cantrip, it doesn't matter. You can just cast it over and over again.
I agree.
I like it.
Yeah, that one's cool. I didn't kind of catch on some of the things that you could do until you said it. It does. It sounds like a fun one too. And that's what I like about the cantrips. It's just, a lot of them can be fun if you use them in the right way.
Yeah, it did. And I think having them, just being able to cast them at will, is you're not hoarding any cantrips, so you can throw prestidigitation or your mage hand out there constantly, and you're not worried about, you know, what's coming next. I don't want to burn out of these spells, so you get them and just keep rolling them out there.
Yeah, I mean, it's less... The cantrip in general is just less, you know, like, strategy with it. And, you know, like, if you go into some of the more popular cantrips, such as, like, Firebolt or, you know, Eldritch Blast, those, you know, scale with you as you kind of grow as a character.
Right.
I mean, with, like, Eldritch Blast, it's one of the strongest spells in the game as you get to a higher level, because it's just ridiculous the amount of damage you do.
Right, and I actually have a warlock written up, and Eldritch Blast is, it's huge. Because warlocks have very limited spell slots, so they rely on the cantrip. So I'm looking forward to being able to unleash the power of the Eldritch Blast.
Well, and what's crazy about Eldritch Blast is it's a 1d10 force damage. And at level 5, it becomes 2d10.
Well, and it's not Firebolt, which is 2d10, but it's just a stronger Firebolt. It's two separate beams.
The blast is?
Yeah, which can be nice because, oh, botched one roll. Oh, wait, I still have another.
Yeah.
So it's almost like two different sounds, or not two different sounds. Yeah, I'm reading the chat at the same time. Two different attacks.
So it's like Scorching Ray.
Yeah, except you get to cast it as a cantrip. I don't know, I always had a hard time as a warlock to not pick up because Eldritch Blast is such a huge part of Warlocks, to not pick up all the invocations that I would almost say can make it overpowered.
Well, what do you mean by that?
It's got like 5 different invocations for Warlocks that they can use it to push a person 10 feet every time they hit, which I think would make it like when you get the multiple beams, you know, right. 10, 20, 30 feet,
pew, 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 pew.
You can at level 2 start adding your charisma modifier to damage rolls. So it already has a pretty decent distance on it. I think it's 120. And then you can double it with another invocation to make it out to like over 200 feet or something just stupid like that. Like it's competing with longbows.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah.
It can just become stupid overpowered if you're like, I'm just going to blow shit up.
Sounds like it.
You know what's another crazy cantrip that just scales with you as you grow? Is Toll the Dead. I don't know if any of you guys have done this yet, but so normally, you know, creature must pass a wisdom save, so whatever you're fighting. General monsters have pretty terrible wisdom, so it's going to hit pretty much any monster. But it takes a 1d8, but if it's damaged at all, it takes a 1d12. And yeah. Doing 1d12 wow. at level 1 is ridiculous. And then it's 2d12 at level 5. So, you know, it has that progression. But it's kind of ridiculous. I was having this conversation with Devin. And I think cantrips scaling are a little unnecessary. Because when you think about, like, a fighter, right? A fighter gets 3 attacks. But that's all they can do. Like, when you think about, like, a wizard, and you get, like, level 7 spells or whatever. I mean, that's kind of your scaling when the fighter only gets the extra attacks. But now you have cantrips that scale every single time. I mean, I think it's a little overpowered in some regards.
Well, it's more like... when, you know, especially for Warlocks, the top out of like even a level 20 Warlock gets like 3 or 4 spell slots,
yeah,
and that's it.
I think for that it's fine, but for like Sorcerer or Wizard, it's overpowered because I mean, well, you're getting Fireball at level, you know, at
level 5, yeah,
yeah.
Well, and it's the same breath though, like this most recent Critical Role episode. Is the only time I've seen them, one person, use almost all of their spells. Like, I think she had 1 or 2 left by the end of the episode.
Right.
But that said, I mean, and you have to remember, we, at least as far as I know, how we've been playing, we're not doing justice to short rests, because it's supposed to be you hit like 3 to 5 medium combats per long rest. And so if you're doing that, like 3 to 5 combats is a lot.
Right. Yeah.
Especially for a mage, if you're throwing out any amount of spells, you're going to be out fast. Or save them all. You know, classic gamer stuff, keep all of your hit or your potions until the very end and your bazookas and then never use them.
I find that in our campaign a bit much, because we're constantly traveling, and so like there's never a time you'll get 3 to 5 encounters in one day.
Well, yeah, and this is kind of going off topic, but I don't know how that works, you know, just throwing encounter after encounter at the players, and then all of a sudden all you're doing is, you know, slinging spells instead of role playing. And I think that's just a testament of where we're going as players and what we are what we enjoy doing more. And it's that role playing aspect with a little bit of combat sprinkled in. And if we were doing those 3 encounters per long rest, it's like, well, holy shit, now we're just combating all the time.
Well, and that's why I did my home rule. Short rest can be, you know, just long enough to rub some dirt on it. But long rests are 7 days, because then it pushes that use of really using your hit dice and stuff. Because otherwise, yeah, you do just, okay, guys, we're going to take a quick cat nap and
right.
get back to it. And because otherwise, I've never seen how you could do 3 to 5 combats per long rest.
Yeah, there's no way. There's new way.
A new way.
What do you think, Travis?
I got no stake in the matter, to be honest.
What?
No, that's a boring answer, but I haven't experienced those long rests and short rests since we've been doing it our own way in this particular campaign.
Well, how many spells did you use when we were fighting the Oni?
Any. This time. I kind of used a few last time, but to be honest, I don't been long enough that I didn't really remember the number that I used. But so I wanted to ask, though, since we're all fun on the subject of cantrips, if you've used your favorite one, or if you haven't, but what is your favorite use of that cantrip? Maybe a story around the event of what happened in the game. Kind of curious, because I feel like we could get some good ones with Vicious Mockery or Prestidigitation. I'm boring. I have nothing except that I could say I heard it on, you know, another show or something, but curious if you guys have a story, if at all.
Not me personally, but just hearing the different things you can do with Prestidigitation, and hearing somebody, so the animated series that kind of outlines the spells they did, I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head, but we share them on our Discord.
Animated spell book?
Yeah, that's it. I was close. They did Prestidigitation, and thinking of all of the things that you can do with it, you know, I've been a DM more than I've been a player, so it's hard to, you know, just go, well, this is my favorite part. But all of the different role-playing that you can do with Prestidigitation is great. I mean, you can pretty much manipulate anything in one cubic foot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so I think that that's good as challenging the player. Like, open up your mind a little bit, and what all can you do? Well, figure it out. Like, open it up a little bit. But using the mage hand with my arcane trickster, I can't remember a specific incident where it like saved my life, but there were many times that I would have it running the thieves' tools so that my person was in, you know, relative safe distance. You know, I mean, it's a 30 foot range, but I'd rather have my mage hand get blown up than have myself. So I think there was a couple times, but
these hands,
that was it.
Are meant for stroking.
God, Billy Squire.
Well, I mean, anything else, guys? I mean, we can take a quick wrap here and get ready for Tomb of Annihilation.
Yeah, I think I'm ready.
That was a quick one, running through our favorite cantrips. Well, they're cantrips. What else can you say? We'll continue this series later on down the road. We'll talk about our favorite first level spells. I do have an announcement. I guess I can tease the teaser. Tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. Pacific time, there is a teaser coming out for some new content on the channel. I'd like to know what you guys think. You'd be spending some more time with old Binksy Cat in the future. So look for that coming out on the YouTube channel tomorrow morning-ish. Sometime.
Which is Dadbod D&D.
Dadbod.
On YouTube, D&D. Of course.
On YouTube, yes. Of course. It's a YouTube channel on YouTube. You can't find it anywhere but YouTube.